Genesis 4. And I'm going to read just a couple of scripture here. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And Cain was the first son of Adam, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." So she was excited. God blessed her. God gave her a man from the Lord. I love the fact that she acknowledged where he was from. It matters that you acknowledge where your blessings are from. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you understand that it might be Monday morning and you might have a little bit of, oh, got to go to work. Well, if you wake up tomorrow morning and you say, I have a job, I'm paying my bills, I'm blessed by God, then your attitude will be completely different. If you say, everything I have is from the Lord. Amen. So she acknowledged that. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was the second son of Adam. For a few moments before we go into communion, I want to speak on this topic. The blood still speaks. The blood still speaks. If you're thankful for the blood this morning, we put your hands together and magnify the Lord one more time. Amen. So you've got two brothers we see in this scripture. Two brothers. You have Cain, you have Abel. And the Bible tells us very clearly about these two boys. It tells us that Abel worked here in the sheepfold. He was a keeper of sheep. He's the second son of Adam. And the Bible tells us that his brother Cain, he doesn't work like that. That Cain works over here in the field. Cain is a tiller of the ground. So while Abel's over here working in the sheepfold, Cain is over here tilling the ground and keeping the ground. So you have one of the boys who's a keeper of the sheep, who cares for the lambs of the family, but the older brother is a tiller of the ground. He is something that is very familiar around here. He is a farmer. He knows what it is to plant seed. He knows what it is to pray for rain, because we understand the seed without the rain doesn't do much good. He knows what it is to tend the crop and wait for the harvest. That's Cain. That's the first son of Adam. And his brother Abel is a totally different boy. He keeps the sheep. He knows what it is to raise his lambs. That there comes this point where God talks to these boys and says, I want a sacrifice from you both. God calls them and says, I want a sacrifice. I want you to sacrifice something unto me. Now we know by reading scripture exactly what type of sacrifice that God was wanting from these boys. The Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it is the blood that makes the atonement for sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's nothing to wash it away. So we know exactly what God would have asked for a sin offering. He would have asked for a lamb to be sacrificed in those days. He would have asked for an animal to shed its blood for the atonement of sin. Now over here you have Cain, the first son of Adam, and I don't know if maybe Cain was too proud to ask his little brother for a lamb. I don't know if you've got any siblings in here, especially older and younger brothers. But maybe the older brother was just had a little too much pride in him to go ask his little brother if he could have one of those lambs. Maybe he didn't want to buy it. Maybe he said, well, I'm not going to buy it from you. I'm not going to buy something for my little brother. Or maybe he was just too proud to ask for him to give a lamb. I don't know, but I do know this, that Cain gathered up what Cain had, and Cain gathered up some vegetables, a bloodless offering. And he brought that to God. Meanwhile, over here, Abel takes one of his finest lambs and offers its life up to God. And he sheds its blood for the sacrifice. So God is naturally pleased with Abel's offering. But God is not so happy with Cain's offering. So now you have this awkward standoff in Genesis chapter 4 where God and Cain are having a conversation. God is angry with Cain And believe it or not, Cain is angry with God because God wouldn't accept or receive his offering. And the Lord says, Cain, why are you angry? If you would have only have done what I told you to do, how many times, if we would only do what God would tell us to do,
yeah.
He said, if you'd only done what I told you to do, if you would only, if you'd only do what I asked you to do, you'd be fine right now, Cain. But Cain, if you think you're going to take care of your sin without the shedding of blood, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
Because sin is waiting at the door of your life. And eventually, Cain, sin will destroy you. And then we come to this horrible moment in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He killed his own brother. So I want you to see this. It's right here in the Bible. There comes a day when Abel, the second son of Adam, leaves his territory. And he goes to the territory of Cain, the first son of Adam. And while the second son of Adam, Abel, is in the territory of the first son of Adam, Cain, the first son of Adam, Cain, lifts up, the Bible says, a wicked hand and kills Abel, the second son of Adam. And then he buries his body in the ground and he walks away thinking, oh, there we go. I've covered up my tracks. No one's going to know. This won't even be a problem. No one's going to figure out that I killed my brother. Mom and dad are just going to wonder where he went. Maybe he wandered off, but everything's going to be all right. No one's going to know. But the Lord appears unto Cain and says this in verse 9. The Lord saith unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. I don't know. Could you imagine? I know there's probably everyone in this room, you've had a moment in your life where someone's asked you a question and you knew the truth, but the truth didn't come out your mouth. And there might even be some of you in this room that person, that non-truth that came out was never corrected. And they've went on and they've thought what you said was true, but what you said was false. It's that little thing called a lie. Yeah. Cain has the gumption to look at God and say, I don't know where he's at. You're going to lie to God. And then he turns around and says, am I my brother's keeper? You little smart mouth. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he just needed to. That's what you needed, boy. He gets smart with God. First he lies to him. Then he says, well, am I my brother's keeper? Basically, what do you expect from me? You want me to keep an eye on him all the time? How am I supposed to know where he's at? I'll tell you this. Beware of people that answer a question with another question. He couldn't be straight with God. When people can't be straight with you and they can't answer, beware of people that answer a question with another question. Verse 10, and God, not having any of it, says, Cain, what have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And verse 11, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Here's the curse, Cain. When you go back to the field and you till that ground and you plant the seed and you hope and you pray for rain and you wait for the harvest, that ground is no longer going to yield to you its fruit. That ground is no longer going to yield to you its strength that it used to because of your brother's blood. Because that innocent blood that you shed in that ground. So now, think of this. Here we are. We've got Cain, who was mad at God. He wouldn't accept his offering, but he accepts his brother's. So because of that, his anger is so built up that he kills his brother and then tries to hide it, lies to God, gets smart mouth with God. And now God says, because of this, what I blessed you with before is now going to be cursed. So now some of you might know where I'm going with this, but if you do know where I'm going with this, please don't tell your neighbor yet. Abel was killed in the field, his brother's field. Abel was not killed in the sheepfold where he worked. He left his territory and went to Cain's territory. And it was while Abel, the second son of Adam, was in the territory of Cain, the first son of Adam, that Cain lifted up his wicked hand and killed Abel, his younger brother. Anybody know where I'm going yet? Because your Bible calls humanity the first Adam. And it calls Jesus the second Adam. Yeah. So it's not hard to figure out that God is painting a powerful picture in the opening words of Genesis here. That Jesus, the second Adam, left his territory in heaven. And the first, where the first Adam lives, where we are, humanity. And while he was here in our territory, we lifted up a wicked hand and we killed him and we hung him on a cross. But here's the good news. That was not a murder that took place like it was for Cain and Abel. But what it was when Jesus came and he walked here and he died, that it was an incredible victory that took place. Because when his blood came out of his body and began to seep down that old rugged cross into that cursed ground of this earth, all of a sudden heaven said the same thing that was said in Genesis 4. Wait a minute, I hear the blood. The blood started talking. When the blood was going down the cross, it started talking. And I've got good news for you this morning. If you're sick in your body, the blood still speaks. If your marriage is hurting, the blood still speaks. If your family is getting destroyed, your blood still speaks. If you're bound and addicted, the blood still speaks. Come on. If sin is holding you back in your life, the blood still speaks. The blood of Jesus Christ is still speaking today. It didn't stop in the ground back then. It's not stopping today. But the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking to you today. Romans 8 and 3, it says, for what the law could not do. Understand that keeping rules doesn't help you, nor can it save you. Because it says, the Bible says, it was too weak through the flesh. But God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Understand that Calvary has shut down the power of sin over you if you are simply willing to obey what God is speaking today. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Look at somebody else and say, the blood's still speaking. Still speaking. Isaiah the prophet, he saw this. It's amazing. The crucifixion. Understand this, that the crucifixion as a form of torture and execution had not even been invented yet at the time of Isaiah. But 600 years before Jesus ever walked on this earth, the old prophet Isaiah said these words in Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. He said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He says he is acquainted with grief. What's Isaiah describing here? Isaiah is seeing. He is seeing the crucifixion take place. God's showing it to him. He's letting him see this. And we hid as it were our faces from him. And it says, and he was despised and was esteemed him not. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But understand, this wasn't an accident. Everything taking place was on purpose.
Amen. Yeah.
Everything taking place had a purpose that he's describing. And then catch this. It says he was, shout was. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was, shout was. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him. Amen. And then Isaiah stops talking in past tense. And he goes into the present tense. And he says this. So at first he says, he was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of peace was upon him. And then he says, and with his stripes we are healed. What was Isaiah saying in that scripture? He was saying, the blood is still going to be flowing. The blood is still going to be active. The blood is still going to be soothing. He said, the blood is still going to be mending. He said, the blood is still going to be saving. It's still going to be picking you up and turning you around and setting your feet where it needs to be. The blood is never going to die. He said, the blood is still speaking, and it'll never stop. It's the blood. God comes to Cain and he says, we'll go back to this. He says, where's your brother? God already knew the answer. It's God. If God ever comes and asks you a question, don't think, ooh, well, he needs to hear something from me. No, he already knows the answer. He knows the answer. But what takes place, and a lot of times God speaks to us and asks us questions. And sometimes, I don't know if we get puffed up, maybe thinking, well, God needs me to answer something for him. That's not what was taking place here. He did not come to Cain and say, where is thy brother? Where's your brother? What he was doing is he was giving Cain space for repentance. He was giving Cain the opportunity to say, God, I've messed up. Yeah. I killed my brother. I tried to hide him. I've messed up, God. What do I do? But instead, he said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He's giving him room for repentance. And God says, I heard the blood, Cain. The voice of your brother's blood. It cries to me from the ground. And God said, no more shall the ground yield to you its strength. You will never be able to work this ground like you used to, Cain. If you try to do it again in this ground, it won't work for you, Cain. Before you killed your brother, you could plant whatever you wanted to plant. You could grow whatever you wanted to grow. But because the ground has opened its mouth and received the blood of your brother, that when you try it again, it's not going to work anymore, Cain. Why? Because the blood is now against you. And it speaks to me. For some of us in here in this room today, it used to be that Satan could plant whatever he wanted in your flesh. And it would manifest in your life because you were helpless to stop it. But thank God that if you are washed in the blood, if you have opened up your life to receive the blood of Jesus, then the things that used to grow in you can't grow in you anymore. The things you used to do that used to overtake you, they can't overtake you anymore because the blood is active in your life. So tell the devil and tell your flesh and tell your weaknesses, it's not going to work anymore because the blood's been applied. The blood's been applied. The blood's been applied. You see, Satan plants many things in your flesh to destroy you. And in fact, he even planted some seeds in your life back when you were much younger in hopes that when you grow up, it would take root and destroy you. And it would have worked if it hadn't been for the blood. But thank God the blood still speaks. Yeah. Genesis 50 and 20, it says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass. As it is this day, so to save much people alive. You see, if you don't believe the blood has worked a miracle in your life, just look at the lives of your friends and your family around you. You see, the same devil that was coming after you, but when you opened up your mouth, you opened up your life to receive the blood and the curse of sin. When the devil was pouring the things out, when Satan was pouring the things out and the world was pouring things out, and you opened yourself up to it, but the blood was applied at that point. Some of you in here, you've taken a step back at times. There are some of you in here that you know exactly what I'm talking about because you were raised in this. This is all you knew. The blood was applied to you at a young age, but you turned around. There were some times you walked away and the devil could have completely destroyed you. But the good news is, here's what took place, is that when you turned around and started to walk away, that the blood began to step in the middle between of what was being poured out. And his blood was stronger than what was being poured out into your life. And it began to work on your behalf.
Yeah.
And that's why we proclaim the blood of Jesus in our life. It's the blood. I'm closing. With my human ears, today we talk about the blood speaks. You say, Pastor, what's that mean? Well, with my human ear, I can't hear the blood at all. With the stethoscope, I worked in the medical field for about four and a half years, went to nursing school for 2.5 years. I figured out how to use a stethoscope pretty well, and I could hear blood moving. When I would apply it to somebody's body, I could hear a pulse. The pulse is the blood is being pumped. Blood is moving. But never did that physical stethoscope ever help me when I was trying to hear the voice of God. But if I had the ear of God, I could hear the blood speak. But if you and I, we're not like God. You see, we need God. We're not like God. Because our sinful nature, just like Cain, is just like Cain. Cain is the first son. He is like first Adam, who was sinful. And Abel, the second son, he is like the second Adam who shed his blood for you and I. And 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 47 says, so it was written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man of this earth was just that. He was of this earth.
Yeah.
That's simple. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. You see, Abel died and his blood became his defense attorney. It began to plead his case with God. My brother has killed me. He has killed me. And God said, I hear your blood, Abel, and I will get justice. Understand that the devil thought by killing Jesus on that cross, he thought that what he would do when he got Jesus to the cross and he died and the blood was running down the cross and to the ground, he thought he had victory, because he thought what he was going to do is he was going to shut down the gospel that was being preached. But in 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew, the spiritual princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of God. If he would have realized who was hanging on that cross and that he was not going to stay in a grave, he would not have went through with it.
Amen.
So he thought he had power. Understand this morning, as long as the blood is in, we can't hear it speak. When the blood was flowing through the veins of Jesus, we couldn't hear it speak. When the blood was flowing through the veins of Abel, you couldn't hear it speaking because it was in. You can't hear the blood when it's in. You can't hear it speaking. But when they pierced the body of Jesus on the cross and the blood flowed out, it started speaking. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. If you haven't picked up yet, I want you to understand that the blood is still speaking today. Abel's blood, not so much, because he was just made from this earth. But Jesus' blood, he was beyond this earth. There's something special about him. And because his blood still speaks, when judgment said you should be destroyed, the blood was speaking. And when your enemy sought to wipe you out, the blood was still speaking. And when trials and temptations are around you every day, the blood is on your side and still speaking. Justice said you should have died a long time ago, but the blood said, nope, I'm here to save those which who are lost, those are born into sin. But the blood got in between you and the justice and said, no, I'm going to be the mediator between you and them because I'm here to save them. Hear me, somebody, this morning. The blood got between you and that car wreck that should have taken your life. The blood got between you and that cancer that should have taken you years ago. That blood got between you and that marriage that was falling apart. That blood stood between it and said, I'm the mediator today because only the blood of Jesus has the power to seek and save those who are lost. The blood still speaks. It got between you and the jail cell and it pulled you out and said, I've got you. It's okay. It was the blood of Jesus. Let's all stand. It was the blood of Jesus that got between you and Satan. All those years ago when he almost had you destroyed. He almost had you. And then somebody who had already had an experience with the blood of Jesus crossed paths with you. And what they did, here's what happened. Sam, stand right there. Man, you look sharp today. Look at you. My goodness. Red tie, red jacket, corduroy. Looking sharp. Proud of this young man. The devil's tried hard to get you. But you know what? You keep getting up and coming back. Keep getting up and coming back. You want to know why? Here's why. All right. Oh, come be the devil for me today. You look sharp too. I love you too, buddy. But someone's got to do it. You look pretty slick. Hey, you know, it says that the devil was one good-looking angel. He could sing. He's a minister of music. You sing. You're looking handsome today. I'm telling you, you just fit it. All right? But we know who you are. He's an angel, Mom and Dad. He's just an angel. Good kid. Good young man. I'm sorry, good young man. But here's the reality of this, what I'm talking about today. It's Sam. Even though it's knocked you down, you've got up. I promise you, tomorrow, something's going to come knocking on your door. And when it knocks on your door, the temptation's going to get a little closer. And then Tuesday morning, you wake up, and you're dealing with a lot of junk in life, and it's just whispering in your ear. You see, other things speak more than just the blood, too. But you got to, what has more power? What has your ear more? What has your ear more, the word of God or the word of man? Does the media have your ear more than God has your ear? Because it'll affect your end game, I promise you that. Because what's going to happen is the enemy is going to come after you. Don't think you're exempt from it. The enemy is going to come after you. When the enemy comes after you and you keep opening yourself up to it, you're not really moving, but I promise you the enemy is moving, and it gets a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. But as long as the blood is still active in your life, there's never going to be a moment that the enemy is going to cross through the blood barrier. There's a blood barrier that says you got close enough. It's time for you to back up, because I bought them with a price. They belong to me, and the blood will speak on your behalf. Come on, the enemy can try it, but if the blood is still active, it'll stand between you and the enemy. It'll stand between you and the sickness. It'll stand between you and disease and cancer. And it'll say, you can't touch them. They belong to me. Are you thankful for the blood this morning? Won't you lift your hands? Begin to thank God for the blood this morning. Come on, you've been bought with a price. His blood was shed for you, for your salvation. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. That's it. Come on. Think about what He saved you from. Think about it. Think about where you would be this morning if it wasn't for Him. What kind of mess you would be in. What kind of gutter you'd be laying in this morning. What kind of sin you'd be wrapped up in this morning. You might not even be here if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. If it wasn't for that blood barrier that blocked it. Come on. Come on. There's something powerful about it. Begin to think about it. Oh God, where would I be if it wasn't for your blood? Where would I be, God, if it wasn't for the cross? Where would I be? Where would I be? And the blood is speaking this morning. It is saying you'd be lost. You would have no hope. You would have nowhere to turn. You'd have nowhere to go. But the blood is saying, I'm still speaking, and salvation is still yours. It's still yours today. It wasn't a one-time thing. But His salvation, the promise of that salvation, we know it goes generation to generation to generation. If you're here today and you've applied that blood, if you've applied Calvary to your life, then thank God for it. But if you're here today and you've yet to do that, I promise today the blood is still alive. It's still active. God is still living, and there's still power in it today. That's why this water right behind me, it's not just some special magic water tank. It doesn't have much to do with the water. Honestly, it doesn't have much to do with even the person that's baptizing you. But the powerful thing is when I baptize you, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of your sins. What gives me the ability to speak that is the blood that was shed. And the blood's still speaking today in this place. It's still for you. It's still for your family. It's not just for salvation, but it's for healing. By His stripes, we are healed. It wasn't just for that day. It wasn't just for the book of Acts. We are. That tells me until that trumpet sounds, we can be and we are healed. By what? The shedding of His blood. Because the Lamb was willing to die in your place. And in my place. He wasn't like Cain and said, I'll give something that's not going to cost me anything. But He said, I will give something as Abel did that will cost everything. Because Abel was willing to be obedient to the voice of God, it cost him his life. And Jesus, being obedient to Himself, He said, I'll go to the cross and it's going to cost me my life. but in exchange for yours. The blood's still speaking this morning.